It is so much pleasing to our hearts to have heard these extensive offerings of gratitude and love from so many very dedicated devotees. Because it is quite late and devotees have already spoken so eloquently, I will share just a few words tonight. His Grace Stoka Krishna Prabhu embodied sacred spiritual principles that are essential for anyone who wants to attract the mercy of Krishna. When I first met him, sitting as a student in a college classroom, but as soon as the message of Srila Prabhupada and Bhagavad Gita came into his ears, he was deeply enthused with spiritual excitement. And soon after, he dedicated his life. When he came to the temple, Govinda Prabhu, who was always especially partial to people from Belgaum, he arranged for him to be my personal assistant. Stoka Krishna Prabhu was so simple. He was non-envious. Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita that you can understand this message because you are non-envious. When Krishna speaks about understanding, it is not intellectual. It is not academic. It is realization of the heart. Because he was so non-envious and did not find faults with others, it was such a pleasurable relief to spend time with him. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised his arms high in the air and loudly proclaimed that anyone who takes the name of Krishna and does not find fault with others will be blessed with love of God. Very simple. But that, as it has been said, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple. But there's nothing more difficult to do than chant Hare Krishna and not find faults with others, to those who are envious. He had such an innocent, childlike desire to please whoever he was serving. It meant so much for him that the devotees were pleased with his efforts. And it was very crushing when devotees were not pleased with his efforts. Especially myself. But I can tell you, Stoka Krishna Prabhu was one of the most efficient devotees I have ever met in my life. Not because of material qualifications, but because he just cared so much to do everything right. And he so much wanted to please without malice. Some people, when they have a service of serving someone, they want to get prestige from doing that. They want to be seen. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, do not try to see, but try to be seen by Krishna. Now many people, they want to be seen, not by Krishna, but by everybody else for what they're doing for Krishna. Does that make sense? But Stoka Krishna didn't care anything about what anyone thought. He just wanted to try to do the right thing and please. Therefore, or let me say, because he was so simple and innocent by nature, sometimes his mind would get distracted. And that was the only time he made mistakes, when his mind would become distracted. Or as we say in the West, he would get spaced out. It was common for Stoka Krishna Prabhu to get spaced out. His mind would just kind of go off. And it was my service to him to help him to be efficient for Krishna. So I would chastise him. And I would chastise him a lot. Why? Because he's supposed to be very, very conscious and efficient in whatever he's doing. I knew his capacity. But I will make a confession today, that even though I chastised him, it was almost as if I was pretending to do so. Because whatever he did pleased me. Because he had no other desire except to please me. Even during a yatra, he would make mistakes that would hold up the yatra, sometimes for hours. And there's 2,000 devotees waiting for something to happen. And he forgot. Hare Krishna. So there was pressure. But even then, I would chastise him. But within seconds, it just evaporated. And all I could do was just embrace him. Because he had such pure intentions, always. And that is the essence of bhakti. Krishna does not accept what we offer. He accepts the intent or the purpose in which everything is offered. Stoka Krishna Prabhu's purpose was always pure devotional service. It was always simply to please Guru, Krishna, and Vaishnavas without ulterior motives. And therefore, even though other brahmacharis sometimes tried to chase him away, I kept bringing him back because it was just such a relief. Dealing in this world of Kali, there are so many people with their own agendas and so many people with complicated ways of thinking and so many people with all kinds of intricate false egos. But Stoka Krishna Prabhu, what you saw is what was inside. He was just a pure-hearted soul with no duplicity, who wanted to please Krishna. through Guru and the Vaishnavas. And it was actually a relief. I took shelter of his association because it was so pleasing. Stoka Krishna Prabhu went through some difficult times. But because of this service attitude and this simple and humble attachment to his sadhana, Krishna was always there for him. There was no doubt, whatever difficulties he had, Krishna would pick him up. Because he loved Krishna's devotees. If you love Krishna's devotees, Krishna loves you. And even if you engage in abominable activities, Krishna will definitely pick you right up and make you perfect. Stoka Krishna Prabhu set such a wonderful example for all of us. I would like to say one more thing. One of the most often quoted verses in Srila Prabhupada's books and lectures is this. Tate nukampam susamikshamano. That one who is put into the most difficult, painful circumstances and does not blame anyone, but with folded palms offers obeisances to the Lord, thinking that this is just a token of the karma that I deserve. Such a person, liberation is his rightful claim. Prabhupada quoted it so often because it is one of the most important teachings. Liberation is the rightful claim of that devotee who could thank God from the heart, even in the most perilous conditions. Stoka Krishna Prabhu had been suffering from a fast-acting form of cancer. I was trying to call him regularly wherever I was in the world. In fact, I was at His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj's bedside. In the month of May, I believe it was. And when I came back to the room I was staying, that is where I heard that Stoka Krishna Prabhu was dying of cancer. I saw the type of pain that cancer can bring when it's in such an advanced stage. My heart grieved for this innocent child of only 35 years old. By the time I came back to Bombay, it was severely ravishing his body. In fact, I was getting calls. Devotees did not think he would survive till I came back in September. I will end my offering with something that Stoka Krishna Prabhu told me that had a profound impact in my life. He said to me that he was so grateful and happy because in his life, although he had no qualifications and he'd never deserved it. Krishna gave him the opportunity to associate with devotees. Krishna gave him the chance to chant the holy names. And Krishna gave him so many opportunities to render devotional service. He said, I had no qualifications. I didn't deserve it. But Krishna allowed me so many moments in my life where I could be engaging in his service and that of his devotees. He was so happy, so grateful. Now, most people in this world, what to speak of materialistic people, even an ordinary type of devotee, to be dying at the age of 35, to be racked with pain, such an active young man who's paralyzed from the waist down, who's on the verge of death, who has just been married less than 2 years, who has a newborn baby. Most people would ask, why is God doing this to me? Why? Why now? If God is the supreme controller, why, just after I'm married, and just after I'm having a new baby, so young, why? Stoka Krishna Prabhu, I don't believe he ever asked that question. I doubt if that question ever even crossed his mind. His only question was, why? Why? Why is Krishna so merciful, causelessly, that someone as unqualified and undeserving as me in this lifetime gave me the chance to associate with Srila Prabhupada's devotees, chant Hare Krishna, and render devotional service? Why? Why did Krishna give me that? That is gratitude. No complaint. Only deep appreciation and love. If we can learn this one principle from Stoka Krishna Prabhu, each and every one of us will go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda showered their blessings upon him. And what a glorious departure. It was as if Srimati Radharani was personally orchestrating, step by step. He came to temple. The night before, his blood pressure was way down, and devotees thought that he was practically unconscious and about to die. And I started speaking about Krishna's leelas in Vrindavan, and immediately his eyes opened. Before, they were kind of curling in his head. Totally enrapt attention. And the whole time I was speaking, there was that famous, fully blossomed, lotus-like smile. He was so happy. I don't think there's another person outside of Radha Gopinath's congregation in the entire 15 million people of Bombay that could smile like that. Just hearing Krishna's pastimes. And after hearing those pastimes, when I was speaking to him, he was in absolutely clear consciousness. And I asked him, "When do you want to go?" And Stoka Krishna Prabhu, with a big smile and eyes glistening with such conviction, replied, "At this very moment." When he said that, I understood within the core of my heart that this personality has absolutely no attachments in this material world. He is ready to go now. That state of consciousness can only come by the mercy of the Lord Sri Krishna. The next day, Esse and Saul arrived from Vrindavan and gave me bagfuls of flower garlands. One was a flower garland of Raghunath Das Goswami from his samadhi at Sri Radha Kund, and fresh bottled water from Radha Kund, Sham Kund, and Yamuna. Then there were those most fragrant, celestial, divine rose petal garlands from Krishna Balaram Temple, Radharani's garland, Shamsundar's garland, Balaram's garland, Radha Gokulananda's garland. All these garlands were coming. So I went right into the room and just put every one of them on the body of Stoka Krishna Prabhu. The whole room smelled like Sri Vrindavan Dham. That fragrance was intoxicating. And there were tulsi leaves from Radha Shamsundar's lotus feet in Vrindavan Dham, on his head, in his mouth, in his chest. And devotees were chanting. And I was feeling extremely dizzy and weak that day. So I went to my room to rest for a few minutes. I didn't expect it at all. All of a sudden, I hear a knocking, and it's Madan Mohan from Vrindavan and Ramesh Chandra Goswami, two of the purest-hearted Brijavasis. When I was with Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj in Gita Nagari, he was just days away from his departure, and in the whole of America, in the whole of the world, I get a phone call that Madan Mohan Brijavasi, that's his surname, is in Harrisburg, which is a half hour from Gita Nagari. And he happened to be there then. He was with Panditji and Narasingha Baba and Giridhar Lal. So I went to visit them where they were, and they were so eager to come back. When Madan Mohan Brijavasi was chanting for Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, nobody had ever seen him in that state. When he was chanting Krishna and Radharani's holy names, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj went into a state of ecstasy. Tears were pouring from his eyes, and he was not just crying, he was wailing. Ah! Ah! In ecstasy. And it went on for almost a half hour continuously. How it is. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj personally, he said that Vrindavan Dham has come to me today in the form of these Brijabasis. They have just transported my consciousness to Sri Brajbhumi. Of course, he considered that wherever Prabhupada's projects were being executed by devotees, that was none different than Vrindavan. But even still, special feature. So Madan Mohanji comes, I bring him in, and he blesses Stoka Krishna Prabhu, and all the devotees, Nartaki is blessing him, Hari Sori came Prabhu, Shutakirti Prabhu, Chandramali Maharaj, Jayadvaita Maharaj, Niranjan Maharaj, all these devotees were coming to bless him. And every one of these senior Prabhupada disciples, when they spoke to me, they were praising him. They were speaking about him as a self-realized saint. And please know that these great Vaishnavas, my God brothers and God sisters, they've seen just about everything. They were deeply impressed. Because they were seeing a saint. A true saint. Humble, unassuming, simple, but only have one desire. Whatever anarthas may have been there in his life, Krishna just erased them through the trauma of his suffering, and all that was left was a blissful, grateful heart that loved Krishna and his devotees. He told me he would be so immensely grateful if I was with him when he passed away. I went to my room after bringing Madan Mohanji and having him chanting, and a few minutes later, Giriraj Prabhu knocked on my door. And he said, Stoka Krishna Prabhu's heart is so weak, we can barely hear it beating. So I ran to the room and held his hand and whispered a little message in his ear. And all the devotees by that time, how it happened on Advaitacharya's appearance day, at that particular time of the day, the whole Brahmacharya ashram was assembled in his room. And a large crowd of loving, dedicated congregation was inside his room and at the window outside. It was a tumultuous kirtan. Stoka Krishna took, I believe, 5 breaths. And then one deep breath. And then Krishna released his soul from this material world to give him, I believe, eternal shelter at his lotus feet. Most glorious departure. Stoka Krishna Prabhu, the memory of your life, your example, we pray we can keep eternally within the core of our hearts. Stoka Krishna Prabhu, our love and gratitude for you cannot be expressed in words. Because what you represented is what Srila Prabhupada sacrificed his life to give to the world. Thank you very much.